This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello, True Romance listeners. This is Devin Leary. And...
No, sweetie.
No. No, okay, I guess, sure, since she's being so goddamn insistent about it, I'm joined by...
Carolina Barlow.
I'm joined by the Italian stallion herself, Carolina Barlow. And I want to say that this is all I'm going to say on the matter, so don't even you goddamn push for any more. I know that things are really fucking bleak, and I right now am choosing to talk with you all today about joy. I'm choosing to talk to you about a couple of things that have brought total, unadulterated, pure, fine grade joy into my life. And I also want to say that I went to see the comedy show of comedian Lil Frex, a friend of the pod, a friend of mine. And someone did ask a question about, like, is Trump going to run in 2023 or whatever? And she said, let's just enjoy this while this lasts, guys. Let's just enjoy this summer. Like, we know bleak things are on the horizon, but it's important to enjoy things right now. And I totally wholeheartedly agree with that. One thing that truly lit up my mind is like a cave where little pieces of serotonin are grasping onto little tiny wisps. They're just
branches.
Wisps flowing with tiny droplets of serotonin just gripping for their last breath of life. And this movie blew serotonin through that cave, lit it up in Technicolor. And that movie is Top Gun, the sequel. I don't even know the full title. Top Gun.
I still haven't seen it.
Carol, I've never seen the original. I started watching the original last night because I was like, now I'm down this train and you know I'm not going to stop. I went to go see it. I went kind of like, I was like, oh, I just want to be a part of the cultural moment, but like, I don't know if I'm going to love this movie. And I find myself cheering in a fucking theater full of hundreds of strangers, cheering, screaming, clapping, saying, yes! Feeling like, fuck you to anyone who goes against Maverick. If you go against Maverick, you are my enemy. I'm with Maverick. I'm with Goose. My feelings aside about these men, of course I have feelings about Miles Teller and him calling Shailene Woodley his sister. Of course I have feelings about Tom Cruise. We don't even have to explain why. All of that is
where
gone.
Where is Shelley Miskovich? We don't need to worry about
Shelley,
that right now.
No offense, Shelley, but your disappearance is off in the fucking sky floating somewhere and it is not grasped by me anymore because I am letting it go so that I can enjoy this. And I lived for it. I was like, he's Maverick, people. I was like, come on, John Hamm. You don't think Maverick's going to be Maverick? He's just being Maverick. That's him. Come on. He's crazy. He does what he wants. He saves the day. Loved it. Camaraderie. living for it. I will say that, like, I found that I didn't finish the 80s version yet. I just started watching it. It did feel a little more sexual. Like, I kind of was like, why was there no sex in the new one? Like, there's a weird storyline with Tom Cruise and some woman who seems completely irrelevant. No offense to her. But I'm like, there was no sex. Like, the 80s one, there's a lot of sexual charge in there. It's like, there's like, they're almost going to have sex in a bathroom. Like, Tom Cruise mentions like having sex with a girl on a bathroom counter. Like, I'm like, okay, I am here for this. Men like spanking each other in jorts, like, yeah, you could say color me intrigued. Val Kilmer in his prime, yeah, you could say I want to see him in a locker room. So that's one thing. It's like, I wish they had more sex, but it's not Love Island, it's Top Gun, baby, and I am in. Carol,
likewise, I'm in. Okay. I'm completely in.
She's got nothing to say about it. She's got to go see it if she cares about herself. She'll see it if she loves herself. She'll see it.
No pressure.
But if you have any self-worth at all, you would bring yourself to go see Top Gun in theaters. I think it's called Top Gun Maverick, but I'm not quite sure.
It sure is.
Okay.
I love that Devin's like, this changed my life. But Devin, you also watched another movie recently for the first time.
Oh, you better believe it. Okay, this is my experience with this saga. We all know that I love Channing Tatum. I've always loved him since Step Up. I've always thought he was the perfect man. I still think he's the perfect man. And he has never once done a single thing that has made me falter from that. And not the same can be said for anyone else. Like, of course, I have love for J-Lo. There's been moments where my love has faltered. Of course, I have love for Beyonce. There's been moments where my love has faltered. Don't even get me started on all of the people that I've like had sexual feelings towards in the industry who fucking disappoint me. Vinny Guadagnino, when you didn't respond to my DM, okay, and didn't even match me on Raya. This is the thing that's upsetting. I get to Raya, I get to the point where I'm like, oh, maybe I can consider myself actually an equal to Vinny Guadagnino from Jersey Shore, and yet he still doesn't match with me. Like, okay, I thought we're equals now. All right, so people disappoint me. Channing Tatum has never disappointed me. If anything, he just continues to exceed expectations. He is currently writing children's books for young girls called Spark Ella, where he dresses in a tutu and reads books to young children.
I can't.
Bitch, he's currently has a dog and he made a movie about the dog. Like, it just, he never stops. So when I first saw Magic Mike, I saw it with friend of the pod, Tess Sitzman. I think I've spoken about it on the pod before, where I actually told her I suddenly felt I need to be alone to continue watching this. This is such a sexual experience for me that I felt uncomfortable that she was there. I've never been so turned on to a group of people, not just one, of course, Channing, but like, what's his name? Joe Mangiella. Like,
yeah,
please. Matt Bomer, please. I mean, Matthew McConaughey, always please, even when he's like a little bit Republican. Honestly, I kind of appreciate him right now talking to Aunt Abby Wambach on ESPN. Yeah, you could sign me up. So that Magic Mike one, curious. It's a Steven Soderbergh movie. And
sound like a 13-year-old girl who's giving her YouTube movie review. But of course, it's also very serious. It's directed by the noted director,
Steven Soderbergh. So then flash forward. So then I just live my life not watching Magic Mike XXL. Literally, God only knows. And by the way, I have had to switch my antidepressants multiple times since then. And it truly might have been because I didn't watch this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, something was missing. So I'm on FaceTime with friends of the pod, Haley Karcher and Hannah Kotzen, whose newsletter I recommended. Send me the link. And Hannah says she had her birthday party, and her birthday party was renting out a theater to watch Magic Mike XXL. And I go, oh, I've never seen it. The way these women reacted was, it was like I told them, like, oh, I didn't know that Santa doesn't exist. Like, they were like, wait, what? Are you fucking... Actually, they would react less enthusiastically if I said I didn't know Santa doesn't exist. They would probably just be like, oh, you are not okay. So I immediately that day, I sit down. The way I can't even put into words the way this movie made me feel. I've never had such a positive reaction to absolutely anything in my life. The only thing I can compare it to is after living for years with intense social anxiety, OCD, and depression, taking a drink of alcohol and realizing there was an escape. Like, that's the only thing I can compare it to. I was like, wait, this is, it's, I, what? It's everything good from Magic Mike 1 without, like, the bad parts, which is basically just, like, having a storyline. Like,
Olivia Munn.
and Olivia Munn. Like, all I can say is, like, I truly didn't follow, if there is a storyline in Magic Mike XXL, I truly didn't follow it, and I don't think that matters. It's like, he builds furniture now. His furniture is heinous, but God does know that I would go into deep, severe debt if I had the opportunity to buy furniture from Channing Tatum. I would be buying driftwood headboards and fucking industrial style coffee tables. My house would be full of them, and I would be a hoarder if I had the opportunity to buy that. But that's what he's doing. And then he, like, is upset because his one employee doesn't have health care. And then he gets a call that Dallas died, Matthew McConaughey's character. So he goes to Tampa, and then they're like, just kidding, Dallas didn't die, but do you want to go on a road trip with us? And he's like, no. And then he goes home and is building furniture, and Pony by Genuine comes on, and he engages.
Triggered. I'm triggered.
In what can only be described as a gift that felt like it was tailored just to me. I think that's why, like, Channing Tatum is someone who, like, when I go on his Instagram and I read the celebrity, like, I mean, when I read his fans, like, comments on there, it's like, they are so insane, but, like, I do understand it, because when he dances to Pony by Genuine, I do feel like he is doing it just for me. Like, I feel like he knows what I needed, and he understood, and he did it. Like, I feel like he knows that women in the world need help, and, like, that's why he made this movie. Like, I feel like it was made to celebrate women and women's desire, and I just was like, oh my God, when he was dancing to Pony, I was, the grin on my face has never been so big. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure if I have a child, it might compare that kind of joy, but, like, I don't even think it will. I was just like, oh, and then it just keeps getting better and better. Cause then he's like, all right, fuck it, I am going on the road trip. And then it's like, great, fuck it, we're just going to dance left and fucking right. Take off our clothes left and fucking right. Every time you think there's a lull and you're like, oh, are they going to have a serious conversation? It's like endearing and cute for 2 seconds. And then they're like, anyway, do you want to fucking grind all over the place? And for Matt Bomer to, like, slightly pull down his pants so you can see his ass a little bit. Yeah, I do want that. Yeah, I do. I really do. So people say they lose faith. They don't believe in a higher power. What they need to do is enter into their search bar, www.hbomax.com, search Magic Mike XXL, and just click a little sideways triangle button that means play, and you will have your hope.
And that will mean play.
And that will play. And historically, that will mean play. And it will play Magic Mike XXL. And you will remember. Because, by the way, it's about friendship. Like, the moments where they all come together, like, I really don't understand. Again, this storyline is a little lost on me. Joe, who, aka Tarzan, that's his name, right? Joe Mangella's character.
No, so, no, that Tarzan is, like, the huge guy.
Oh, who's Joe's character? He's, like, the werewolf.
He's the guy whose dick is too big.
Oh my God, please, the guy whose dick is too big. He plays Big Dick Richie. Okay, just fucking thank you. Thank you that that's a character. Thank you. But let me just say this. What was the story? Carolina trying to talk this episode is actually,
I know,
funny.
It's actually really funny. I'm like, and Devin is on the pulpit. She's hitting the Bible with her fist.
The Bible is worn, people. The pages are yellowed. That's how much I've been fucking soapboxing about Magic Mike XXL. So the storyline that Big Dick Richie, like, isn't a fireman. He's a male entertainer. Like, he has some sort of conflict about the fact that, like, he really wants to, like, he thinks he has to be something other than a male entertainer. And Channing Tatum keeps saying, like, you're not a fireman, you're a male entertainer. I really don't, I feel like I did miss some important plot points because I was probably, like, in fantasy, or I, God, don't want to go into details what I was doing, but I did miss some plot points due to distractions. And so I don't know what that was, but whatever it was, it led them to this scene where they go to a gas station. And Big Dick Richie is down on himself. He thinks he, like, can't turn women on. Are you kidding me, Big Dick Richie? If you could see me right now, just thinking about you, like, I am fucking beaming for you. So they're like, I bet if you go in that gas station, you could, like, make this woman smile. And he's like, I don't even think I can, guys. He starts to go in. What do they play? What song do they play, Carolina, when he enters the gas station?
Oh, they play Backstreet Boys, right?
It is Backstreet Boys, but I actually don't know.
What is it?
I think it's I really don't know. I think it was Backstreet's Back for Life, right?
No, it's not. It's You Are My, my fire. But one desire.
It's I Want It That Way. So they start playing I Want It That Way. Fucking Big Dick Richie goes into this gas station and just does a strip routine to I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys. While they keep panning to the glass of the gas station, where through the glass, Channing Tatum and the crew are just watching him, cheering him on. So it's like, not only do you have like the hot, like hottest, sexiest thing I've ever seen, never been more turned on since the Pony Genuine scene. And then you also have camaraderie. You also have friendship. You also have brotherhood. You also have female empowerment, trying to make a woman smile. You also have emphasis on supporting our service workers and giving them gratitude and gratuity. You have that because a woman works at a gas station. Like,
so you're also unionizing. So you're also pro-union.
Unionizing. You actually have everything I could ever want or need. Like, why is God this good? I literally felt in that moment, I thought, God is this good.
I would like to say something this episode. And
you're going to have to submit a request. No, go ahead.
I want to say why I love Magic Mike and I'm not going to say a feminist manifesto because I believe I think it's an experience. I think it's a feminist experience. And what I mean by that is that I personally have never wanted to go to a male strip club. Male nudity makes me nervous and I prefer to be nervous sexually with a man one-on-one instead of in a group of people. But when I sit down, when I watch this movie, it is clear that in this movie and this world, it's the onus is on the men to entertain and satisfy me.
Yep.
I can relax. I can sit back. It's Channing's job to make me happy.
And now,
And he knows it. He takes that as an honor. And let's compare it to any movie with a hot woman in it. So like, whether it's Angelina Jolie or Zoe Deutsch, or Lily Collins, whether it's Emily in Paris or Carrie Bradshaw, I'm supposed to aspire to be that hot woman. Whether she's cute, you know, super hot or like messy cute, I'm supposed to want to be them. I'm supposed to look to mirror myself after them so that I can get the love story that they're earning in their movie.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about that right now. Nope. Channing and his literal army of strippers have to make me happy.
Yep.
And it's reminds me of the seminal music video album that was Beyonce's Lemonade. It came out in 2016 on my birthday. That was a special day for me. And in one of her music videos to the song Sorry, you'll remember that she sits casually on what looks to be a throne. Her leg is dangling over one of the chair's arms. And Serena Williams wears a leotard and dances around a mansion while Beyonce casually sings to the camera. Mm-hmm. And what Beyonce is saying literally and metaphorically through the video expression is, sorry, I'm not dancing for you anymore. I have nothing to prove to you. Men have been disappointing me lately, and not just Republicans, but just like men, as Devin has been saying on the pod, who are expecting us to fill in all these quotas on these apps. Just men asking for anything, whether it's time, whether it's energy, whether it's them to teach me something that I already know. I just want to sit. I want to eat takeout, and I want to watch Channing hump the floor in sweatpants. And I don't want to have to worry about how to present myself. I want to objectify men. And I think Magic Mike invites us into a world where that's possible.
I totally wholeheartedly agree. Have I considered traveling to Vegas to see Magic Mike live multiple times? Yes. Have I considered traveling to London to see it multiple times? Yes. My question is, when is it coming to New York? But also, I think you're right. It's like, they don't even bother this time. They know what we need. It's like, I don't know when they made the first one, but like things have only gotten worse for women since ever. So I think it's like the first one, they like made us sit through a plot point and like the plot line and the drug dealing or whatever. And now this time they were like, wait, you know what women need? They need this. And I was like,
They need XXL. They need more of the men.
They need more of the men. They need more of the grinding. At one point, Channing said, like, talks about stripping and he's like, or male entertaining. And he's like, well, the way I like did it is that I just like thought this girl was really hot in the club. And I started dancing with her. And the way I danced was like just me imagining what I would do to her during sex. And I actually needed that because I imagined that, like, while I'm watching him dance, of course I imagined that's what he would do to me during sex. But to have him confirm that is what he would do during sex, just really took me over the breaking point where I was like, I'm going to be using this as porn for the rest of my life. To know that like he actively does like have sex that way, like if I allow myself to, I can get angry about it. I did cry at one point. I thought like, this is just not fair that I can never like be with this person and he exists. Like
Devin did when she watched XXL, she texted me that she was upset that she would never be able to hook up with these people. And no, I know Devin well enough to know that she was not saying that to be, you know, facetious or hyperbolic. I knew that she was slightly upset.
No, I'm angry. But like, but at the same time, can I be angry? Because you can't. Because in this movie, when you get into a sequence where Channing Tatum with a backwards hat and a deep cut V, are you fucking kidding me? That face, those shoulders, deep cut V, backwards hat, I am dying. He's like, I know an MC for us, which by the way, then again, at this point, they're like going to a convention. God knows why. None of it makes sense. Doesn't matter. He's like, I know an MC for the convention now that Dallas is like not dead, but no longer with us. No one explains. Okay.
He's in China with the kid who's Alex Pettifer, who in real life was crazy and messed up his relationship with Channing and also had a restraining order taken out on him by Diane Agron. So
I don't need to know any of this information. Okay. It's not a part of my life. It's not a part of my life. So I'm only for the joy of the Magic Mike universe. I don't want to know about China right now. Like, no offense. I don't want to be thinking about that. So I'm happier in Tampa. So Channing goes to meet his MC, which is Jada Pinkett Smith, playing a woman who runs a male entertainment establishment where she is like the queen that everybody bows down to. She makes Channing Tatum kiss her because she has that power. It's so hot. Like, never loved her more in a role. So just when you think things can't get any better, okay? And she's like, oh, come in this other room. Let me show you what goes on here. You're watching Michael Strahan strip and dance on a woman and hump a woman.
I totally forgot this part.
Yes. Okay. So you're like, now things really can't get better. Can this? Can they? Oh, wait a second. Pan upwards to the staircase. Who's standing there? Childish Gambino, aka Donald Glover, ready to take off his shirt while he sings a song to a woman about how beautiful she is. At that point, I said, this cannot go on. This cannot continue to be better. It cannot. It cannot. They have to stop. I'm dying. I'm losing myself here. I cannot even, like, no. It must feel like when someone finds like $1 million on the street and it's like they see one stack of hundreds. They're like, oh my God, it's like keeps getting more. They're like, no, this cannot be $1 million. Like, this cannot be more. It's more. It's more. And then I'm like, I'm not even at the final convention, the final performance yet. Like, are you kidding me? So the final performance features everyone in their best way, the best music. I loved, again, Matt Bomer with those like half pulled off jeans. Are you kidding? Where his ass is showing? Like, okay, what? Obsessed. Channing Tatum doing like a mirror dance at the same time and with as another guy. And I love the fact that like Amber Heard is, which by the way, I am team Amber Heard, but I won't be going into that. So I will always support her. But by the way, her role is like basically barely there. It's just like, she's like, kind of like seems kind of mysterious. And he's like, oh, what would your drag name be? And he says his name would be Clitoria, which obviously turns me on like no other. Just that he would use the word similar to clitoris makes me turn on. And then she just kind of like is a little weird. And then she has a mom who has a party and they go to the party and they reawaken all these middle-aged women's sex lives. And then she happens to be at the final show and he dances for her. And she's like, that was awesome. That's the only arc I need. That's mm-hmm. the only arc I need. I don't need to know if they're going to be together in the end. I don't need to know any of that shit. I don't need to know if Channing Tatum's one employee ends up getting health insurance. I just needed this. And guess what? If you're worried out there, like I was the second it ended, there's a third one coming out.
Is there really? You know, what's so funny is that Channing Tatum was talking about it on a program I like to call the Kelly Clarkson Show. And he was like, putting off the third one because I have to diet so much for it.
No.
And Channing. What I loved about him, though, is he was being very realistic for someone who used to have a serious ED. I think you would appreciate this as well, Devin. She says, like, well, to look like that. And he's like, nobody is supposed to look like that.
Wait, no, I want them to look like that. Is that not natural? Wait, that's not natural?
No, it's unnatural. You can't eat anything. You have to work out all the time.
Oh, okay.
We're going to take a commercial break while Devin processes this news.
Oh, okay.
And we'll be back. Devin, you're having a conversation with a friend of the pod, correct?
Yes, yes.
Please stay tuned.
I want true romance.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Hello, True Romance listeners. This is Devin Leary reporting live with a special new segment that I guess we're going to have the name be TBD for now. But the whole idea for this segment was inspired by the same bachelorette party that I've previously talked about on the podcast. A very healing experience for me. Surrounded by women who are really in their best selves, walking down Bourbon Street, fully actualized. It was a really transformative 4 to 5 days. And I was graced with the presence of, I guess I could be generous and say, a new friend who was generous enough to share her presence with you all today. Please welcome Nancy.
My name is Nancy Da Silva. I am Devin Leary's new friend.
Yes.
And I am very excited to have that status. I would like to validate that it was a very transformative bachelorette party. I have been at so many bachelorette parties. I used to live in New Orleans, so I have been on Bourbon Street my fair number of times.
Yes.
And I would say that was not my most self-actualized version when we were walking down Bourbon Street on this trip. I personally hate Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
It took every fiber of my being to do that, but we did it for, you know, the one, the only Haley.
We did.
But I do believe that it was an incredible trip. I was transformed most by Stevie Nicks.
That's the one part I missed.
Which is very unfortunate. I was moved to tears. I have never felt so strongly at a musical performance. I'm not like a music changed my life, man. Like, I love concerts. I love going to like live music and all that good stuff. But I am not someone for whom like music is an integral part of my meditative practice or whatever.
And okay, well, I am. So
okay, fine.
No, I'm not.
But Stevie Nicks, like, that was transformative. I have never felt so emotionally moved. I was crying. It was beautiful. She was doing Landslide. The sun was setting over New Orleans. It was my first time back since pre-COVID. And oh my God, it was incredible. But anyway, hi everyone.
So I will say that you had minimum three, probably more clutch moments on the trip for me where like you came in and like the day was saved. One was the first night we're getting ready to go out and all the mirrors are taken up by someone getting ready. And I was like, well, I have to like put makeup on and there's like not a single mirror in sight. And I didn't own a compact mirror at the time. Like I had nothing to do my makeup with. And then you come in with, wait for it, this.
You bought it?
I bought the same one.
No way.
You come in with this eyeshadow palette with like a huge, it like comes with a huge mirror. It's like Euphoria colors. And so like, I don't know how often I'll use these like bright colors, but it has this huge mirror. So you came in with that. I did my makeup using this and it felt like I was in college again.
I cannot believe that you bought it. That is, first off, I also don't know when I'll ever use it again, but I feel kind of like a Gen Z influencer having it in my makeup bag.
I do too.
I feel so cool.
I literally should go to work where everyone's Gen Z besides me and just be like, oh, hey guys, anyone want some sugar crystals? Anybody interested in some sugar crystals for your eyes? No, I mean, I had to have it and I was so grateful for that. Okay, so that's clutch moment number one. Number two is us walking down, as we said, Bourbon Street. I too was like a little bit, especially during the day, Bourbon Street, like, I just was like, this is a little bit sad. It's like, it felt like a lot of men who are like there for like a convention or like a business conference. And yep. Then they go to Bourbon Street and they're like getting fucked up. And it's just like, it was just upsetting kind of. But you at one point, you just walk by like a vision and you're like, there's an ice cream place right around the corner. And I was like, I'm following you. And we got this delicious ice cream, gelato, I think.
I think it was custard.
No, you're right. It was custard. You're right. You're right. So that was clutch moment number two. So third clutch moment, we're driving. It's a stressful day for me because I was on this bachelorette party, but also I was getting all these emails from work. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to go on the alligator cruise because of this work thing. So I'm a little bit bummed. But just when I need a distraction from all the worries on my mind, Nancy comes in with truly the most thrilling date story. Like, it started out that you, I think you said like, oh, I have like a really crazy date story. And at first I'm like, okay, like you, this, that, okay, that's like pretty. And then I was like, wait, what's happening? Then I'm like, is everything going to be okay? It's like a horror movie. It's like, I feel like I'm in the middle of like that moment in the horror movie where you're like, get out, like don't go in, whatever. And I needed it to be shared with our listeners because it honestly changed my life, and I know it will change the lives of all of our listeners. So please, Nancy, will you share this ride of a lifetime?
Yeah. It was a gray day in New Orleans. We were driving to a swamp tour, which, by the way, we only caught like two alligators. I mean, it wasn't really that thrilling of a boat ride. We didn't miss much.
But there were a lot of pics. Yet again, there were a lot of pics.
Yet again, there were a lot of pics. On this pontoon boat
the at pontoon.
Like 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm happy to dive right into this. I will disclaim, I have been on so many dates in my life. I've never been in a serious relationship. And so I just am like full of these dinner party stories. And I would say this one, it came at a time where I was so exhausted by just having funny stories. I was like, why can't I just have a normal date? Like, why does everything end spectacularly? And enter this story. So it was about April of 2021. And I was out to dinner at Peking Duck House, which is great, in Chinatown. And I was there with about 10 friends. We're eating our Peking duck. And I look at the table next to us and I see a familiar face. Now, Devin, do you want to give this person a name? I don't want to like blow up their spot in the event that this gets back to them.
Yes.
So you can name him.
Okay. Chuck.
Chuck. Great. Okay. So I see Chuck at the table next to me. Now, listeners might be wondering, who is Chuck to Nancy? Chuck is my first kiss. In 10th grade, I was a late bloomer. Chuck and I kissed for the first time in 10th grade at a Halloween party. I was dressed as a sailor. He was
cute.
Dressed as a lifeguard.
What? Nautical? Yep.
Nautical.
Nautical.
Hop on board.
Hop on board.
I was at this party and he walked in and we went to high school together. And he, a day earlier, was like, are you going to be at this Halloween party? And I said, yes. And he was like, I'm bringing you something. And I was like, oh my God, like what? And then when I saw him, I was like, what did you bring me? And then he kissed me.
Wait, it's a fucking movie.
That was my first kiss.
That's so romantic. That probably ruined you for life. You're like, when is the next guy going to do something as cinematic as that?
I've had a few kisses since then. I will say in the moment, it didn't feel romantic. It felt cheesy.
Okay.
But it was finally happening. Like, you know that, like when you're just waiting for your first kiss and I was like, finally, I've gotten this out of the way.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All of my major sexual milestones to me have felt more like a relief than an accomplishment.
I totally relate and agree to that. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's the first, you got a bonus story there. For
yeah,
the first
this
kiss.
Is fun.
Anyway, so I go over, I am the type of person, because I grew up in New York, run into people I know all the time. To the point where I keep a list in my phone like a serial killer of all the people I run into. Because I'm curious of like how many. So anyways, Whenever I run into someone I know, I always go up and say hi. Because I'm scared that they're going to see me and think that I was being rude by not saying hi. So I go out of my way to say hi to you when I see you on the street.
Okay.
So in true Nancy fashion, I go right up to Chuck's table. He stands up. We hug. He looks very good. And I was like, Chuck, oh my God, it's been so long. How have you been? You look so handsome. I always tell boys they look handsome. They love it.
Okay.
They don't know how to like handle a compliment.
Oh my God, wait, I need your help because I don't know how to talk to boys, but go on.
Well, I don't either because I've never had a relationship, but boys love getting complimented because they never do. And it's so sweet when you see their cheeks blush. Anyway, Chuck, you look great. How you doing? And then he introduces me to his table of friends. He's like, hey guys, this is Nancy. And I say, hey everyone, I'm Nancy. Chuck was my first kiss.
That's wait, you're so smooth.
And he turns bright red, even redder than he did when I said he looked handsome. He turns bright red. And he goes, I didn't know that. And I said, yeah, you did.
Ooh.
He said, no, I didn't. I said, well, now you do.
And that's so good. I would have been like, so is everyone having a good time with the duck and eating duck?
So we have like a cute little thing. All of his friends sort of laugh and like rib him for it. And then I go back to my table and that's it. That's all the interaction we have with Chuck. Then later that night, belly full of duck, sitting on my couch, I get a text from Chuck.
Oh my God.
I know. And like these things, I can't emphasize enough. These things don't happen to me. Like I am not the girl who's got like boys blowing up her phone. I have never had like a smooth interaction with a boy in my life.
So you were like, this is like wins, wins, wins.
Yeah. I was like, this is so cool. Like maybe this is how life happens. Like,
right.
This feels so natural. Like he texted me afterward. So we're texting a little bit and he pulls the like, we should catch up. And then we make a plan for the following Tuesday. This is Saturday night.
Awesome.
And I'm like, this can't be real. These like, it's happening too easily. This is so normal. Like, I don't feel like I'm putting on airs. This has to be a joke. But alas, it was not.
It was serious.
So Tuesday comes and we go out to dinner. We go to dinner.
Yeah.
Which is like, whoa.
Yeah.
We went for Thai food on the Upper West Side. And then afterward, we went out for a drink. And then afterward, we went to my apartment and made out on the couch.
Oh!
And I was like, oh my God. Once again, I was like, this is so cool. Like, this is happening so easily. I wasn't scared or like nervous. And I was just like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I'm making out with Chuck on my couch. Like, the only other time I've ever kissed this person, I was 13, 14.
Yeah.
I'm like, how cool is this? And I, again, like, these things don't happen to me. And so I was just like, maybe this is how life happens to other people. And I'm just living someone else's life right now. So we make out a little bit and it's super fun. And I'm like, you have to leave. Like, I'm not trying to jinx this. But before he left, we made plans for that Friday. And he was like, what are you doing on Friday? And I was like, oh my God, a second date? Like, we're making a second date on the first date. Things are going well.
Things are happening. Things are moving. The ball is in motion.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm not going to let this momentum get away from me. So I say, yes, let's hang out on Friday. And he was like, cool, I'll pick you up at noon. And I was like, we have a whole day. Now, for those listening, I, at the time, was in graduate school. And so I did not have classes on Fridays. So that was very easy for me. It wasn't like I was taking off work.
Okay.
But I don't quite remember why he had Friday off, because he was not in school.
Well, to be determined.
Put a pin in that one.
Stay tuned, listeners.
Stay tuned. Anyway, so Friday comes and it's noon. He texts me. He says, I'm downstairs. And I was like, okay, this date is happening. I wore, for those wondering, I wore a pair of bone-colored Everlane pants.
Oh, I have those.
They're great. You know, the wide leg, the classic that all the Brooklyn girls wear.
Have them.
I wore those with a white t-shirt and a pair of black leather boots from Frame. They're very cool girl. Like, I looked very cool girl on this date.
Okay. You're ready to go?
Ready to go. It's April again. So it's like a little chilly, but like, I'm wearing a light jacket, you know, whatever. So that's what I'm wearing for a visual for those who like that.
I needed that. Thank you. What was he wearing, by the way?
He was wearing black jeans, Chelsea boots. I can't remember what shirt he was wearing, but he was wearing a black quilted jacket.
Okay.
I think he may have been wearing like a red gingham shirt. A little preppy for my taste, but he looked good.
Okay.
Like, I'm not complaining. And so I go downstairs and he's sitting outside my building in a Porsche 911.
Guys, come on. 9/11 has never sounded so good as this moment.
Exactly. Like, okay. So a few things. One, I don't know anything about cars. So I found out that it was a Porsche 911 from him. It's not like, I recognized immediately that it was like a fancy sports car. I did not know it was a Porsche 911. But I was not like blind to the fact that it was an impressive car. When I saw the car, here was my internal reaction.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You know, I was like, okay, does he really think that this in and of itself is going to get me to take my pants off?
Right.
You know, like, it felt a little heavy-handed. Like, dude, we've already made out. Like, clearly I'm down. I don't need, like, a panty dropper car to, you know, get me going. And I also, I felt as though he was appealing to, like, a level of ostentatiousness that I actually don't possess at all.
Right.
And it just felt a little yucky, but I wasn't going to be a curmudgeon. I wasn't going to be like, you're just showing off. Like, this is a disgusting display of wealth. I didn't do that. But it did, you know, there was a bit of an asterisk on the gesture in my mind.
Okay.
But I was down for the ride. It's a cool car. I'm not going to turn up my nose at, you know, taking a ride in a cool car. It just felt like he really thought that that alone was impressive. And I didn't love that.
Okay. Yeah. I can totally see that. I can see that.
It's a cool car. Who cares? So I get in the car. And I was like, okay, cool car. What are we doing today? And he was like, we're going upstate. We're going to Cold Spring.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh my God. Like, and for those listeners who don't know, Cold Spring is a town probably an hour and a half outside New York City by car. It's a really cute little town, some cute little restaurants, great hiking. There's a museum that's very famous that you can go to. It's a great day trip outside the city. So I was like, wow, this guy's crushing it on like the date factor of this. Like, their activities. We're probably going to see some art, maybe like smell the spring breeze coming in off the Hudson. Like, this is awesome. So I'm jazzed. We're in the car. We're chit-chatting. Conversation is a bit stilted. I do remember at one point he did like sort of reach in the back into a bag that he had. And he pulled out like a jar that seemed to have some sort of smoothie in it. And he drank.
What?
And I, like I smoothies really gross me out. And another very niche thing about me is I hate people who drink out of containers that are not meant to be drinking containers.
Oh.
So like he had this like, it looked like a jam jar that clearly he had repurposed for his smoothie so he could like screw the lid on.
Okay.
Like people who eat soup out of mugs, I hate that.
Okay.
And so I don't know why, but like my back was sort of cringing seeing him drink out of this jam jar.
Okay.
Anyway, whatever. That I can is, get over
yeah.
it.
I mean,
I'm an adult. That's a like a peculiarity of mine. That's not his fault.
Did he say anything about it? Like, did he make a joke about it, or he just like casually? No. Oh, that's a little weird.
He also didn't like offer me any. Not that I would have had it, as I said. Like, I physically like won't do that. I won't drink out of a jam jar.
Yeah.
But not because I'm a snob. It just grosses me out a little bit.
But an offer would have been nice.
It would have been nice. Or maybe like maybe if he had a water bottle, that would have been nice.
Right.
Perhaps I'm the only one who grew up in a house with my mother who keeps water bottles in every single door and cup holder in a car.
Well, that sounds like a dream.
It's really nice. It's like an Uber. I also forgot to mention that the second I got in the car, he went in for the kiss. He gave me like a kiss hello.
Oh!
I forgot that detail.
Was it good or did it like catch you off guard?
No, it was cute. I was like, this is awesome.
Okay.
Like, once again, I'm like, okay, he's making his intentions known. This is so cool. No one is ever this overt with me. Like,
yeah.
I literally am the person who will like ask someone out and then they're just like, ooh, sorry, I don't think about you that way. And so
yeah.
to have someone like, just going for a hello kiss? Are you kidding me? Incredible.
Yeah, it is though. Like now that you mentioned the conversation getting stilted, like it is a lot of pressure to be like, so we're just going to be like sitting in here for an hour and a half. That being said, I guess it's kind of the same thing as like going to a bar for an hour and a half and having to talk to someone. But like, it is a little bit like we're trapped, but you already knew him and you'd already made out. So like, okay.
Exactly. And I also, as you can tell, like could probably make conversation with a wall.
True.
So I wasn't too worried. But when the conversation got awkward, I was like, okay, this is weird because I can kind of talk to anyone.
Right.
And we've already had a date and we grew up together. Like we should be able to talk.
Right.
Anyway, so we're getting closer and closer. And I ask, okay, well, what are we doing in Cold Springs? And he goes like, oh, you'll see when we get there. I'm like, oh, okay. Like he's got a plan. That's cool.
And like a surprise planned, like, wow, okay.
That's nice. It's thoughtful.
Yeah.
And so we're driving, we drive right past the main street of Cold Spring. Like just, it comes and goes. And I'm sort of looking out the window and I'm like, where are we going? About 5 minutes later, Cold Springs is a tiny town. So 5 minutes outside the town is really in the middle of nowhere. And 5 minutes later, we pull up to this like abandoned parking lot,
nope.
like gravel lot. With grass.
With nope.
A rundown barn.
Nope. Nope.
Yep.
This is the moment where like my whole body tenses and I'm like, wait, everything is about to go horribly wrong.
Yep. And the funny thing about the story is at every point he has the opportunity to do something right. And at every point he chooses the wrong thing. So for example, we drive through the town of Cold Springs to an abandoned barn.
Right.
And I'm just like, and he pulls over, stops the car. And I'm like, where are we? And he gets out of the car with the bag, the aforementioned bag.
Okay.
That has a smoothie jar in it. And he was like, oh, you can come in if you want.
If you want?
If you want.
What?
I was like, what do you mean if I want? I was invited on a date.
I'm not going to stay in an abandoned gravel lot in the middle of fucking nowhere by myself. I'm vulnerable. I am vulnerable.
I am wearing frame leather boots. I am not wearing hiking boots right now.
Yeah.
I would be eaten alive out here.
Eaten alive by these hills have eyes people. No.
Exactly. And like, I was like, okay, well, I could either die in the car or die in the barn.
Yeah.
Let's try the barn.
Let's just give it a go.
So we go into the barn. And inside the barn is a beautiful wine cellar.
Okay. Like,
out of like a, and I'm like, okay, we're back.
Chuck
has planned a cool wine tasting. Like he knows this cool spot. It's beautiful inside. There are all these old bottles. Now, listeners, I don't really drink that much. I don't not drink at all, but like I do not have a refined palate.
Okay.
Specifically when it comes to wine, that shit is lost on me. But I recognize the gesture and like it's cool.
It's so cool. But it is a little bit like, now I'm like, okay, like, you don't have to. At this point, the information is like, okay, so he was actually surprising you with, like, you're going to this really cool wine cellar. At that point, it's like, why are you committing to the bit so much that you're, like, pretending that you're at an abandoned lot? And he's like, you can come in if you want. It's like, wait, what? Like, just say, oh, surprise, I know this looks abandoned, but it's actually a wine cellar. And he's, like, pretending. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Exactly. It, like, in, like, when we got there, he should have been like, I have a really cool idea. Like, I found this place online.
Yes.
Super nice inside.
Yeah, good Yelp reviews.
Exactly. But none of that. Just like, you can come in if you want.
Very odd.
Very odd. So we go inside. It's beautiful. So, like, my hopes are restored.
Hopes restored.
And he goes up to the counter and he says to the woman behind the counter, like, are you Melissa? I think he said. She said, yes. He said, I'm Chuck. I called you earlier today. And she's like, oh, yes, of course.
What?
He then pulls out from the bag two bottles of wine and puts them on the counter. And she leads us back to the back room. And there are all these old bottles of wine. And I love history. So I'm like looking at all the labels. There's shit from like the 1800s in there. Like, it looks ancient. So I'm just like having a blast looking at stuff on the walls. But anyway, so we're in this wine cellar and this woman, Melissa, starts inspecting the wine. Like, she's looking at it. She's touching the cork. Like, she has literally on the phone. She's like, will our buyer in Hong Kong want this? Like,
what?
I am not kidding.
And you're like, what? I thought I was on a date to drink some like 1880s wine. And now she's asking if Hong Kong is interested.
Exactly. And like, so one of the bottles appears to have been stored in like not great temperatures or whatever, because the cork is a little like something or other. I don't know.
Okay.
But the other bottle is in mint condition.
Okay.
So he sells both bottles, one at a discount for $1,200.
Okay, wait. So what does he say? He's just like, all right, well, then will you take it? Like,
yeah, yeah. He clearly wanted these bottles off his hand.
And he never once turned to you and was like, oh, so by the way, like, I'm actually here to sell something.
No. I am still just sort of like in ignorant bliss looking at the old bottles of wine, like just observing everything in this barn.
Oh my God. Meanwhile,
he's like doing deals in the corner.
What the fuck?
He sells one bottle at a discount for $1,200 and the other bottle full price at $2,000.
Okay, Christ.
So Mance is walking around with $3,200 in his pocket right now.
All right. So first of all, like, I just don't understand this. So you could have a full trip to Europe first class, and instead you're going to spend that money on a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Like,
wine is something I will never, ever, ever, ever,
it's ever honestly
understand.
Shocking to me, because I'm like, it all has the same effect, doesn't it? Like, fucking Carlo Rossi jug of wine, like, has the same effect as a 3,000. I mean, I don't know. Listen, I haven't drank in 10 years, but I think it's a little confusing.
Yeah, I sometimes feel like a bit of a Luddite when I'm like, what? It can't be that good. But
it can.
It brings joy to people, to each his own.
I guess, you know? Yeah.
I'm going to nip tuck my whole body after I have kids.
Yeah, that's what brings me joy.
Someone else, exactly. And someone else will spend that on a bottle of wine. So
that's fair.
Whatever. I personally do not understand the appeal, but whatever. And again, this is sort of getting to like the whole Porsche 911 thing, like these finer things. Like, I'm not going to be an asshole. I'm not going to be like, you're a capitalist bringing down society, but I also don't find them inherently cool.
I don't either.
Cause they're worth a lot. Like, that doesn't do it for me. So he sells the bottle of wine or bottles of wine. We get back in the car.
And I was, he still doesn't say anything. He still doesn't say anything.
He has given me zero explanation.
Okay.
I turn to him and I say, what was that about? Whose wine was it? How did you come into it? Is it your wine? Do you collect wine? Like, if he sat there and said, I have this passion, like, you know, I got really into it a couple years ago. Like, if he had any reason for doing this that he gave me, I would have been slightly more comfortable with what was going on.
Right.
But he gave me nothing. I said, what was that all about? He goes, I can't really talk about it.
I can't really talk about it?
Yes.
Then why did you bring a relative stranger along to do it?
Exactly. So at this point, I was just like, so you brought me on an errand. Like, it wasn't cool. It wasn't for my own edification. Like, you have no personal attachment to this, presumably. why am I here? Just why? To watch you exchange goods?
And then have you like be evasive and weird and be like, I can't really talk about it. Like what?
Exactly. Like if he, this is what I mean by this story. At every turn, he could have done something right. And he always chose the wrong decision.
Very man
at
of him.
Every single point. And I was just like, okay, this is no longer charming. This is no longer mysterious. This is just weird and not fun for me.
Yeah.
So anyway, then this is the part that really gets me. So we're sitting in this car outside this barn in outer Cold Spring. And I said, okay, well, what are we doing next? And he goes, oh, well, are you hungry? Mind you, he picked me up at noon. If you've been keeping track, we were driving for about an hour and a half. The whole thing at the wine shop probably took half an hour. So it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon now.
Starving.
I have not eaten.
Starving, ravenous.
Ravenous. He's had his weird smoothie jar.
Right.
And I've had nothing.
That's so fucked.
So I said, yes, Chuck, I am hungry.
Yeah, I'm starving.
He said, great. Why don't you find somewhere around here for us
no!
to have
lunch? No! Absolutely fucking not. Absolutely fucking not.
I kid you not. I was like, my jaw dropped. I was just like, excuse me? You take me out of New York City in this weird car to this weird barn so I can watch you do a weird errand. And now I have to find lunch?
No.
Like, I have to forage for myself?
That's
hell. You have $200 sitting in your pocket. You figure out lunch, my guy.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was speechless. I was just like, okay. Nancy, remember when you said these things don't happen to you? It's because these things are not real.
No.
Like, they're just weird. But anyway, so I, like, in my shocked state, found a place for us to have lunch. Like, I didn't know what to do.
Right.
I mean,
you had to eat at that point. So it's like.
I had to eat. And I feel embarrassed looking back on it that, like, I sort of kept going along. But, like, I didn't know.
You didn't have a choice. Like, you were already there. You were already there.
Wrapped. And it was so bizarre. So we go, we have lunch at this like Lebanese place.
Okay.
In Beacon, which is the town next to Cold Springs, which is where the cool museum is.
Dia Beacon. That everybody Instagrams about.
Exactly. And I was like, okay, maybe he's going to take me to the museum now. Like now that the errand is over, like maybe the date begins. But no, we have this lunch. He did pay for it. He better.
Thank God. Yeah, he better.
And we spent the entire time talking about like people we went to high school with. And like lunch felt like the most normal part of the day, but I was just like so deeply weirded out by the beginning part of the day that like there was nothing that was going to redeem.
Yeah.
This date.
It was too far gone.
Too far gone. So then after lunch, we get back in the car and he was like, okay, well, what do you want to do next? Again, like putting this all on my shoulders.
All on you.
And like, if I had been having a modicum of fun, I probably would have gone to the museum, but I wasn't. So I was like, I would like to go home now, please. And he was like, oh, okay, are you sure? And I was like, yes, please take me home. And so we're driving back. Of course, he gets lost because he refuses to use the GPS in the car. And so I'm like looking it up on my phone. We make like 8 wrong turns. And I'm kind of like, typical man, won't ask for directions.
Classic.
Classic. And then the best part of the entire thing is on the way home, we had to stop for gas. And he gets out of the car and it becomes very apparent that he does not know how to fill this car with gas.
Oh my God.
And therefore, it is not
his car. It is not his car.
So I'm just sitting there and I'm like, oh my God. I pop the gas tank. I fill that shit up. I'm like, let's get on the road and please drive me home.
Yeah.
He drops me off in my apartment. He goes in for the goodbye kiss, which I couldn't believe.
Oh, humiliating. Why?
Humiliating. Why? And it was one of those ones where it was just like him kissing me and I was like a flat wall.
Yeah.
Like it was just kissing your hand.
Awful.
Can't kiss you back.
Awful.
And I was just like, oh my God. I went home, promptly journaled every single detail of the date because I did not want to ever forget it.
Thank God you did that because now it's bringing joy to the masses, but wow.
To this day, I have no idea what was going through this kid's head. On this entire date.
Did he follow up with a text? Did he try to ask you out again?
Okay. So the follow-up is pretty funny. I did not hear from him. So because my mother did not raise an impolite asshole.
Yeah.
I texted him later that day and I said, thank you for the date. It was nice to see you.
Okay, nice. Okay.
I didn't say I had so much fun.
Right, right, right.
Or any of that, but I said thank you because he had expended effort. He had borrowed some dude's car.
Or stolen.
Or stole it. Yeah, whatever. I send a polite thank you text. No response from him.
Hell on earth.
Hell on earth. So I send that to him. It was a Friday. I do not get a text from him until the following Wednesday.
Oh, shit.
And in the text, he says, hey, do you remember so-and-so? Give me a name. Give me another name.
Stuart.
Great. He goes, hey, remember Stuart from high school? And Stuart, we had spoken about Stuart very briefly on our date.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Wait. I forgot to mention something about the date, the lunch conversation.
Oh, shit.
We're sitting at lunch. We're talking. And to make pleasant conversation, I said, what did you do this week? And he said, I went on a date.
What?
Yes. I forgot that detail. Oh, my God. While we were having lunch, he told me that he went on a date with this girl who he had always sort of like been into and he didn't really know if they were a thing.
What?
And then they went on a date. And I was like, okay, I'm obviously not exclusively dating you,
but
I'm not going to bring that up.
Right. Like, what the hell? And the fact that he brought it up and like, if he had, okay, I like to try to give men the benefit of the doubt sometimes. And it's like, okay, if he had brought it up and been like, I actually went on a date. It was really weird. Like I had said yes to it before you and I like hooked up or whatever. But like, the fact that he was like, so yeah, I just like wasn't really sure where it was going. And I've kind of always been into it. Like, what?
Exactly. It's like, once again, there's so many ways for him to save himself.
Yes.
And he just goes full, no parachute, straight out the plane.
Like every possible thing went wrong. Yeah.
Every possible. Forgot that he had gone on a date.
So you're like, you just kissed someone else and you kissed me. So if you have COVID, now I have COVID. Great.
Bizarre. But anyway, we're just reminiscing about high school and we brought up this guy, Stuart.
Okay.
So we go on a date on Friday. I say thank you on Friday. I don't hear anything from him until Wednesday. I get this text. Hey, remember when we were talking about Stuart? This is kind of weird, but someone in Stuart's building committed suicide.
Wait.
That's the follow-up text that I get after saying thank you for a nice day. 5 days later.
I'm just picturing these two bubbles next to each other, like your thing of like, hey, I had a nice time. And then his thing of like it sounding like he just needs someone to talk about things with. It's like, do you have a single friend? Do you have a therapist? Can you employ someone to like talk these things through with? Why are you talking to a
date? Anyone.
Anyone. Anyone else. And any single other person in your phone would have been better to text that to. Chuck.
So then I immediately respond. Here's the thing. At this point, I knew I wasn't interested in saying
nothing to lose.
I'm not going to play the game of like, oh, wait an hour.
Right, right,
respond.
Right.
Like within 2 seconds, I respond, oh my gosh, that's awful.
Right. As you would, because you're a human being.
I'm a human being. No response from him again. And then I get a text from him the next day, Thursday at 11 o'clock at night saying, yeah, terrible. Anyway, what are you doing tonight?
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Okay, so wait. So at first me thinking that he like was distraught by this and needed someone to talk to and chose the girl he took on a date that actually was just a business errand and it was actually really awkward and bizarre. The fact that he chose you to like reach out to ask for help was bad enough. The fact that this was his intro pickup line for a second date is so truly flabbergasting. Terrible. Anyway, like, what the fuck?
I will find it because I'm pretty sure I have a screenshot of it. It'll take a second. So if I have it, I will follow up and send it to you. You can post it for your listeners to see because it is a real thing.
It's a real thing. And it's so insane because I know that thing of like when you're dating and you're like, oh, I kind of want to like, there was this years ago, this guy that I had been on like a couple dates with, and it was clear that he like probably wasn't going to ask me out again, but I was looking for a reason to like text him so I could like start up the conversation again, maybe. And I think I like sent an article about something we had previously been talking about and was like, oh, did you see? Like, that was what he was doing.
Exactly.
He was trying to find a thing to talk to you about.
Like, Exactly. But this was
horrid.
Yes. I'm trying to find it, but I don't know. It's going to take a second. Okay. Anyway, so that was how it ended. That was the follow up.
That is so shocking. Insane. Why are men? Who are men? What are men?
Why do they do the things they do? Like, what goes through their heads? What goes through their teeny tiny heads that they would think anything about that date was normal?
I don't know. Yeah, like, he was like, oh, okay, well, I guess, like, that was... Like, I just don't... This is the thing. This is the thing I always think about men, straight men. Who do they talk to? Who do they... They clearly just don't run anything by anyone. I run everything I do past at least one person. Besides, like, I brush my teeth every day. It's like everything else. I'm like, do you think this is a good idea? Do you think I should say this? Like, do you think this is a good pickup line? Do you think, like, it's weird to go meet up with this guy? Do you think that it's weird that this guy asked me this? Do you think that, like, I'm in the right relationship? Do you think I should leave my relationship? Like, that is my way of being.
And these men are out there just lone wolfing, not asking anyone's opinion, just doing what they think is normal. And it turns out it's not fucking normal at all.
Because I think we've been socialized to question ourselves. Like, we're like, oh, we actually need someone's approval to know if we're doing the right thing. But they've been socialized that they just, like, obviously must be doing the right thing. So, like, they just do it. And it's like, but you're so fucking wrong. And then they get upset when we say they're wrong because they're incels. And then, God only knows, murder and crime occurs.
Murder and crime.
Murder and crime occurs, honestly, at the end of the day.
Yeah. But anyway, so that is, I would say, my best dinner party story.
It's iconic.
But that's the best one. It's iconic. It's real. I promise the listeners, not a single detail of that story is embellished. I have ones that I really like to, you know, make sparkle a little more, but that one is full on real. I could not make up a single detail.
It's true. It's honestly a true crime tale. It's a true crime tale.
True crime tale. And you know what? I've never been back to Peking Duck House since.
Oh my God, that's sad.
That's the true crime in all of it.
That's the crime. Oh my God, it really is.
I want true romance.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward.
You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So before we go, I want to ask you for your dating advice. I know you're on the apps. I want to ask, first of all, do you start the conversation typically? Do you have any advice for like opening lines? Asking for myself and the listeners. And then what is your best dating advice?
Okay. So I am terrible at the apps. I have little to no success getting people to respond to me.
Okay.
So my new thing, I literally just did this week and have had extraordinary success. Like I've never had numbers rolling in like this. I will send you, you know, I'm going to text it to you right now. You can look. I'm going to send you a video of what my profile looks like right now.
Okay.
Listeners, I will describe it to you as Devin looks at it. I have changed my profile to be entirely photos of me eating ice cream.
Okay.
And every single answer is just ice cream. There's not a single photo that is not me licking a cone.
Ooh.
And so it is just like, it is an incredible opener because guys know exactly what to talk to you about. And like, you can be silly with it. I can do my whole ice cream spiel as I did before, as I told you. Like,
yes.
Ice cream is a huge part of my diet and my identity. And it really opens up the conversation nicely. I've been having very fun conversations. It also is low hanging fruit for a first date.
Right. Right. They know
summer.
Exactly.
Let's get a cone. It doesn't
Let's
have
get
to
a
be
fucking
a drink.
Cone. It doesn't have like, to be a trip to Cold Spring.
Exactly. It can just be a simple cone. Like who doesn't love that? And so I've actually had a lot of success with this profile and just, I changed it, I would say 2 weeks ago and I've gone on 3 dates and they've been really nice.
Oh shit. Okay.
And the cool thing is none of them have been ice cream dates, which like they could be, but they don't have to be. So I would say, I guess in like my advice here is to make your profile distinct and to make it very easy to react to.
Okay. That
not
makes
just
sense.
Like, not just like hot picture of you in a bikini. First off, none of those exist of me. And I think for guys, like you are very generic when it's just like a nice aesthetically pleasing photo of you. You got to show a little something that they can hang on to.
That's true. Because I find myself thinking about that, about other people's profiles where I'm like, what do I even talk about to this? Like,
exactly. Like you got nothing to go on.
Yeah.
And then I guess dating advice, I am really not the person for this one. But you know, I try not to judge people before I get there. I try to allow myself to get excited, even if I'm very jaded at this point. Like I've been on these apps since 2013, probably.
Yeah.
And you know, on and off, not consistently, but like, I think it's very easy to become jaded and to become discouraged and that happens. But in like, you know, the hour leading up to the date, allow yourself to be excited and just a little hopeful.
Yeah.
It's allowed.
I know. It is hard to not get your hopes down. And I guess some people might say, like, just have low expectations or whatever. But I think it's fun to get your hopes up and be excited and think about, like, the possibilities. I have always been, like, a total fantasizer of, like, I'll immediately be like, oh, my God, wait, this person owns a farm? No, that's never happened. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, so I'm going to move into his farm and we're going to have, like, miniature donkeys for the rest of our lives or something. And it's like, I sometimes am hard on myself about that. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I guess I'm just optimistic in this, at least in this one area of life. And that's fair, even though I've never actually been asked to share a donkey farm with anyone.
Yeah. And like, it's fun to imagine your life taking different turns. Like you're just all these dates, you're just going in and out of different lives that you could live.
Oh,
and
my God, that's so true.
It's fun. Who cares?
I love that.
I guess the last thing, and this is to guys, and it's tough because in New York, there aren't a lot of alternatives, but drinks on the first date is a really hard first date. There's a lot of pressure on those 2 glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Like, it's so sterile. Like, anything that you can do to sort of, like, spice it up, like, getting ice cream, like, that's an activity. Like, something that isn't just you and another person staring at each other can actually like really facilitate a nice time. But in New York, it's very hard. So I will not force people to find things other than drinks. But if you can, I recommend it. Like when I lived in New Orleans, like you could go see live music. Like you could literally just go. Or like there's like everything is more accessible in other places. And in New York, really drinks are the most accessible thing.
That's true.
So I don't fault anyone for doing that as a first date because I haven't found a better alternative. But if you have an interesting date idea, pull that out on the first date, not to impress them, but just because it helps like lighten things up a bit.
That's true.
And shared experiences are way more powerful than just a drink.
That's a beautiful statement. Shared experiences are way more powerful than just a drink.
Than just a drink.
And every date is a look at a possible life you could have.
The Nancy School of Life. It hasn't worked yet, but I'm still holding out hope.
I really believe in the Nancy School of Life. I'm a student. I'm actually a freshman in the Nancy School of Life, and I can't wait for my first kiss freshman year. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This has been a real pleasure. As I continue to have crazy dates, I will continue to update you.
Okay. Do you want to like promote anything? That's what we always ask our guests. Are you promoting anything?
If you feel bad for me, I just graduated from school. I'm poor. If you want to Venmo me, just like $5, I would accept it.
Honestly, what's your Venmo?
Anyone. It's just Nancy Dash Da Silva. That's how I'm promoting myself.
Okay.
Just like any bones you want to throw my way, I'll take.
Promoting your Venmo is a class in the Nancy School of Life. And yeah, I'm taking it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure. To the listeners, nice to meet all of you. And yeah.
Thanks, Nancy. Bye.
Bye.
Deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax and unwind tonight with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy work week flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.